A little hidden history, a little pedagogy, a lot of ways we can improve our teaching and mindset so that our history and social studies classrooms tell a more complete, diverse human story. I'm Cheryl Ann Amendola, and this is the Teaching History Her Way podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Teaching History Her Way podcast. My name is Cheryl Ann Amendola, and I am your host. I'm very, very happy that you are with me today. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. And if you're new, I hope that you'll stay a while and that you'll keep coming back for as long as we're recording. Today's guest, I am very excited about because I got to meet Jeff Scott at the National Council of the Social Studies last year when we were in Philadelphia. And it was a very cool meeting. He turns out to be a really awesome guy with a lot of great experience that I think is going to benefit all of us. And today we'll be talking elementary social studies with him. Or elementary civics and social studies with him. So elementary teachers, put on your seatbelts, get ready for a good ride. This one is for you, but high school and middle school teachers, I encourage you to stick around because Jeff has a boatload of experience in all different grade levels and we'll be talking to you as well. Jeff Scott serves as Vice President of Education at Freedom's Foundation in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. In his educational career, he has taught social studies at the elementary, middle, and high school levels, as well as an adjunct at the university level. Jeff has also served as a school administrator, as well as serving on several committees at the state level with regard to U.S. history, including being a part of the four-person team that developed prior U.S. history standards for the state of Tennessee. Dr. Scott is always looking to learn and increase his professional knowledge to better help students and teachers he leads, hence why he's here today. In the recent past, he presented at the National AP Conference, National Council for the Social Studies Conference, the California Council for the Social Studies, and for AP Day at Rochester Institute of Technology. Jeff is currently writing a book titled Oscar Visits Valley Forge and enjoys, in his leisure, giving amazing tours of Valley Forge National Park. Dr. Scott has participated in such amazing professional development learning as the George Washington Teacher Institute. Shout out to GWTI. Love you. The White House Teacher Institute, the Rendell Center First Amendment Institute, as well as many others. Dr. Scott's passion for civics education is seen through his continuous work with the Congressional Medal of Honor Character Development Program, and he is a life member of the Charles H. Coolidge National Medal of Honor Heritage Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Scott, welcome to the Teaching History Hooray podcast.
Hey, Cheryl-Ann, it is great being here, and please call me Jeff, and I can't wait to talk with you.
I'm really excited that you're here, especially for our elementary teachers, because I feel like a lot of times at the elementary level, pre-K through five, sometimes pre-K through six, civics kind of gets the side shove and everything else gets a lot more time. So making an argument for civics today and talking to teachers about how best they can get it into their classrooms, I think will be really helpful.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just, I just sense there's an undercurrent right now to really get so many people to come together to strengthen civic education in elementary schools.
So often elementary social studies and civics get left behind. How can even our youngest learners benefit from civic education?
Well, here's the thing. You briefly mentioned that I taught, all levels. And one thing by teaching all levels, and I started out in elementary school, by teaching all levels, you really see the connection between elementary, middle school, and high school. And I think for me, when I look at civic education and I look for even U.S. history, I think what you have to do at the elementary level is that we have to come together in different organizations and different people and different beliefs and everything and create a basic foundation that we can all stand upon that's focused around things we can say, okay, Constitution stuff, yes. Bill of Rights, yes. Various things. And what that does for young learners is that it builds an understanding of our basic values in this country, our basic principles that we stand on as Americans, but it also allows them to then stand on that. And as they get older, be able to debate issues that they become passionate about, but going back and using evidence, using things to back up their statements.
I would love nothing more than for my eighth graders, when they get to eighth grade, to have a basic foundation of what the Constitution is, what the Constitution says, even if they came in with just knowing their five freedoms from the First Amendment. that would probably be okay too.
Yep. And, you know, and stuff, I don't know. Sometimes I jump off here and I know you got questions prepared, but one of the things is that for so many years, you know, social studies was pushed off the side in elementary schools. Mm-hmm. And I blame a lot of what happened during the 1980s and so forth. And it's not that elementary teachers don't want to teach social studies. It's just that there's so much pressure to raise math scores and literacy scores that sometimes we don't know how to incorporate social studies into that. And social studies, I've always talked about two foundational things. One is that functional literacy is extremely important, and functional mathematics is extremely important. Those two functionalities play into the social studies. And when you can incorporate those into the social studies in elementary school, kids are going to get stronger in math, and they're going to get stronger in their reading skills and understanding of context.
I agree with you that social studies is so much a part of math and literacy and being functional in our world. And there is so much research that says that reading social studies texts, being familiar with nonfiction, makes reading so much easier at every level. And that's not to discount fiction. Fiction is really fun. Everybody has to have an imagination. I love fiction books, not as much as I love nonfiction books, I'm not going to lie. But I love reading fiction. However, I've seen it with my own children. And obviously, it's not, this isn't any kind of mathematical study or any kind of academic study, but I've seen it with my own children where when they are learning social studies and then they have context for what they're reading because of social studies, they're able to read everything a lot better, and they're able to read maps and they're able to read charts. My younger son, I drag him to every museum under the sun. He knows how to read charts from being at museums with me. And in math, he had no problem being able to graph things and make bar graphs and read pie charts.
So, yeah, with that said, you know, the one of the things you mentioned there is being able to graph and stuff. Maps are so much fun. You can learn so much through maps. And I think it's one of those things that if we implement more map work into elementary schools, kids love maps, by the way. They love creating maps. And you can learn a lot of math elements and a lot of literacy elements through working with maps.
I find myself in fifth grade doing so much more math when I'm on my map unit, when I'm teaching latitude and longitude, when I'm talking to them about elevation.
Oh, yeah.
Not something that they expect to do in social studies. And they kind of give me like this side eye, like, what are you doing, Mrs. Amendola? Why are we doing math and social studies? But it's fun and it works. And the math teacher and I get to work together sometimes on that, which is also really rewarding too.
Absolutely. Cross-curricular. Cross-discipline, cross-grade level. It's so important, and kids love seeing that, and plus it keeps everybody fresh.
And I think that all makes a case for either changing a schedule, talking to administrators, talking to a school board about why social studies is important, why social studies supports everything else that students are doing. At New Jersey Council for History Education, I'm their co-president, and our motto is history teaches everything, and it really does. I guess my next question is, given your wealth of experience, what are some, I guess, concrete ways that a teacher can bring in that civics or social studies tomorrow? Let's just say that they're doing reading workshop or they're doing workshop. What can I do tomorrow as an elementary school teacher to work this social studies and civics stuff in?
Oh, well, first of all, obviously there takes some prep into that, but there's so many elementary school books and very short books that schools can purchase. And often it really is great to work with the school media specialist about ordering these type of books to use in the classroom. And that's a great way to incorporate into reading. And obviously any manipulatives that you get in math, it's a great way to incorporate, whether you're looking at geography, you're looking at land masses and social studies and so forth. And I think one of the most important ways to get social studies incorporated into those areas and getting people to understand what's going on, it's a tier process. I think what happens is that so many school systems get funding to raise math and their ELA scores and so forth. And so much money can go into like, oh, we need to add this class, or we need to do this, we need to do that. But really, we need to funnel a lot of that money into civics and social studies. We're not having major problems in this country because we're having a hard time adding 2 + 2, doing long division and stuff of that nature. We're having more problems in our societies because we don't know how to act as a society. And so what happens is that at the elementary level, we start testing kids so early and we say, okay, you got a deficit in math, you got a deficit in ELA. And then it's like, okay, what do we do? Especially, and let me use the example for math, because I've seen this teaching all levels. We give them more math, okay, where we should be developing a love for what they schooling and a love for this country and a love for the basics understanding that they can build on at elementary level. And then, so what happens? We give them more testing, and at middle school, they're still low in math. And by this point, they're starting to hate school. And now they can't take something fun because they've got to take an extra math class. Okay. And this kid's really starting to have problems, probably acting out a little bit, so forth now, because they're not enjoying it anymore. They're not seeing where it's for them. So what happens? We get to high school. Well, guess what? Their math scores are still low. So you got to take a remedial math, which keeps you out of another area that you'd probably enjoy, or another pathway that maybe you could go into and learn real skills. And so this kid eventually graduates by probably taking a lot more math classes because they kept failing a couple. They still can't do math, high level math, and they didn't really develop any of their skills. They don't like school and they don't see why it was important for them. And so what we have to do at the elementary level is really develop a love of learning that carries them through those tough middle school years and gives them a basic for understanding why they're in school and the skills that they are strong at. And so there's many ways we go with that. But really what we got to do is that teachers have to understand and administrators have to understand that when you incorporate more civics and social studies in our school, it's only going to make us stronger down the road. It's going to make these kids stronger down the road. It's going to make them better students down the road. And it's going to help them develop the skills they're naturally inclined at doing.
I love that so much. I love that you brought up elementary school for love of learning, because that's where it starts. If a kid wants to go to school when they're 5 and 6 and 7, chances are they're going to want to keep going there. And I cannot think of a better way to teach a kid to love school and love to learn than through, obviously, social studies, because I love it, but civics in particular, because there are so many different ways that you can show what you know and show the skills that you have or the things that you're passionate about through civic education.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I tell you, I was talking at the way I was just, I'm just coming back from the West Virginia Council for the Social Studies, where I did a presentation. And I was also very fortunate because the National Council for the Social Studies executive director was there. And we were talking about elementary education and talking about various groups of people, organizations, individuals coming together to really strengthen that foundation that no matter what you believe, and I mentioned this at the beginning, that we can all stand upon. Because if we don't have something to stand upon that we can all, you know, balance, we have nothing to build upon. And we can't have tougher debates as these kids get older. Then it turns into shouting matches. It turns into hate. It turns into like, if you don't agree with me, then your opinion doesn't matter kind of stuff. We have to get away from that. And we have to develop that love of learning in the elementary school. And we have to develop a basic foundation of who we are as a people so we can build upon our differences as we get older.
If you were in perfect elementary school, USA, what would civic education look like to you? What would the kids be doing?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm working right now with the Supreme Court Historical Society, and we're looking at some basic elementary type lessons to do that kids can build upon. And one of the things we're looking at is that it's easier to start, say, in a fourth, fifth grade and take, for instance, a Supreme Court case like Brown versus Board of Education. Okay. Very important Supreme Court case. It's one that kids can rally around of, you know, all levels. It's also one that's easier to understand. And so what you do is you start with a lesson that, okay, you're looking at the case itself. What did it mean at a fourth, fifth grade level? But what do you need to know to get to that kind of thing? And so basically, as you look down the grade levels, you get younger, at the vocabulary is so important. Social studies vocabulary is so important. Understanding basics, what it means to be a citizen. Having students go see, we have to do more. We have to get the kids out of the classroom, man. We got to go to places and see civics in action. Because a lot of times, young kids, okay, I understand this term. I can see it in the video. But when you see it in real life and you say, okay, this is what meant by being engaged in my community. That's civics. And when the kids have a more understanding of what civic engagement is as they see it, then they're going to be able to apply it more when they get through lessons in school and they're doing other things in middle school and high school, they're going to be able to apply it. So for me, if I'm looking at a perfect, I have the basic foundations in kindergarten and first grade. You have to start with that. You have to start with understanding terminology. You have to understand our basic documents, not at a deeper level. What does it mean to be a citizen of this country, okay? What does it mean to treat people with respect? What does it mean to try to understand where other people are coming from? And kids naturally want to do that, right? They want to understand each other. They want to be understood. And so if we can help people with those skills early on, they're going to be able to, as they get into fourth and fifth grade, have discussions, have debates, even as third graders, have debates on what was meant by segregation and what was meant by desegregation. You know, why is that hurtful to various people? You know, and how can we do things today to make our society better? But they have to be able to see it and they have to be able to apply it. So I'd be giving them experiences. I'd bring people in to talk about civic education. I'd have students writing a great deal about civic education and explaining to each other. And also highlighting when students are doing great jobs in school and what they're doing at school to help each other. But it's not about promoting one belief. It's not about promoting one gender. It's not about promoting sexuality. It's really about building a foundation where all those things I just mentioned can be understood and be respected and appreciated without making somebody else feel bad.
You know, and I think that's a lot of what what people miss about civic education. Civic education is not partisan. Civic education is teaching kids, what does it mean to be an American citizen? What are the basic foundations of this country? So like I call it in my classroom, what's the rule book? And then as they get older, we talk about how different people interpret that rule book. And then they make up their mind about how they want to interpret that rule book.
Right. Exactly. And it just really drives me crazy. A lot of times I hear people, you know, bashing teachers in our society and stuff. And a lot of times those people have never been in a school. And as you know, and as most teachers out here know, we don't have time to sit there and say, okay, I want you to believe this. I want you to believe that. Almost every teacher wakes up in the morning, goes to bed at night, thinking about how they can do a better job of helping their kids, just improve as a person, learn the basics. That's what great teachers do. And we need to give the teachers the content. We need to give them the help. We need to give them the professional learning opportunities to help bring civics into schools that everybody in the community says, wow, I'm glad they're doing that.
I agree. And I kind of want to shift gears a little bit to talk about the Freedoms Foundation at Valley Forge, because your organization is really supportive of teachers and it's connect to everything that we have talked about so far today. So just through that giving teachers tools lens, what programs or resources does the Freedoms Foundation at Valley Forge offer that educators can rely on? I mean, I'm familiar because I've looked around, but I'm not sure all of my listeners are, and I would love for them to hear about it.
Well, let me tell you something, Sherilyn. I believe that Freedoms Foundation is the destination for professional learning in civics and U.S. history. We have incredible programs on campus at Freedoms Foundation in beautiful Valley Forge. We have a campus there. We have a little over 70 acres. And basically, we have week-long programs that start on Sunday, end on Friday. We have scholarships available that typically don't include travel, but they include everything else. And you get your own room, and we feed you and go on historical excursions. And what we do is that we bring in unbelievable content through scholars, presenters, and we have activation sessions on how to use that content. And one of the things I've wanted to do so much this year is get more elementary people involved, because the voices of all levels are important. And so when we break down our activation sessions, yeah, the content may be a little high level for even, 12th graders sometimes. But in our activation sessions, it's like, how are we going to use that in our classrooms, and develop resources based on the content or topic that you can use at various levels. And so when people are at Freedoms Foundation, you're going to be treated with respect. I know I don't like wasting teachers' time. So you're going to leave with content. You're going to leave saying, hey, that was worth my time. You're going to leave with a network of people from teachers and educators from all over the country. And you're going to leave with a better feeling for our country, that we can get it done, that we can bring it back together. And that's what I want people to know when they come to Freedoms Foundation. And I believe in it. And I'm always wanting to do what we can to strengthen what we can for civic and history teachers throughout our country.
And as someone who teaches both elementary and middle school, I know that I can appreciate any program that brings everybody to the table all together. There are so many programs that are specifically for high school teachers or specifically for middle school teachers, where elementary teachers are not necessarily invited to the table. But whenever I can find a program that allows and welcomes and encourages everyone to come, I always find that I do so much better. If I'm looking through my eighth grade lens and I'm sitting with high school teachers, I know where I can raise the bar for my eighth graders and have them lift their heads a little bit higher. Conversely, if I'm sitting with high school and middle school teachers and I'm looking at it through my fifth grade lens, I'm looking at what they're doing and trying to figure out how can I best suit that concept that they're talking about to my fifth grade students. I'm not necessarily using all the same content. I'm not necessarily using all of the same skills, but I am certainly interested in what their essential questions are and what the goal is that they have in mind, because no matter what, we're all trying to reach the same thing. We're all trying to help our students be better learners, better thinkers, and better people.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with what you say. And that's what makes you a dynamic educator yourself.
Well, thanks. Not always good at compliments, but thank you. So I'm very excited that I get to visit Freedoms Foundation this summer. I get to be one of Jeff's special guests. So if you'll be there, that'll be really fun. Or I guess considering that this is coming out in the fall. So do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with me or with the audience or both today?
Absolutely. I was just doing a conference and so forth. And one of the things that I always tell people, and I see educators sitting there, don't ever underestimate how important your job is. You know, you can hear different things in the media and you can have tough days and so forth. And sometimes you think, why am I doing this? Well, you're doing this because the country depends on public education. Our country depends on what you bring to the table every day. And your job is important. Now, you may never see the bloom of what you're trying to get to. But what we do as educators, we plant seeds of success. And we hope that other people will continue to water that as we go forward. And so I really believe that, yes, you're going to have tough times, but what you're doing is essential to America. It's essential to our communities. And always take the time to pat yourself on the back, because what you do is so important, and keep the finish strong mentality.
I love that. Thank you. If our listeners want to get in touch with you after today's episode to talk to you about civic education or social studies education or about the Freedoms Foundation at Valley Forge, what's the best way for them to be able to do that?
Well, really, the best way is shoot me an email at jscott@ffvf.org, or simply go to our website at freedomsfoundation.org. You can look at all the programs we have coming up and things. So we're going to be posting stuff for summer of 2024 pretty soon. So be looking for that. And again, feel free to contact us anytime. I love talking to teachers.
That's awesome. And I know that's a fact because Jeff talks to me whenever I send out an email, and it's been frequent lately. So, friends who have visited us today, if you are interested in getting in touch with Jeff, you can check out the show notes. His email and the Freedoms Foundation website are in the show notes. If you want to get in touch with me between episodes, I would love that. You can find me on a whole bunch of different platforms. You can start at my website, www.teachinghistoryherway.com, or you can visit me on Twitter at History Her Way, or on Instagram at Teaching History Her Way. And until next time, thank you so very much for listening. Jeff, thank you so very much for being here.
Thanks, everybody. And I appreciate you, Sherilyn.
I appreciate you too, Jeff. And audience, I especially appreciate you. Until next time, bye-bye.